This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio at sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at sportstalknet. The Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Tuesday, February 7th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's STUDIO at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. As always, still the hangover, if you will, from the Super Bowl. Today in New York, where I live, obviously the big parade, Canyon of Heroes, the whole deal. Ticker tape still, although it's not really ticker tape, it's more like confetti, but that parade is happening now, culminating at City Hall at a 1 o'clock ceremony where Mayor Bloomberg will give the keys to the city to all of the Giants, all of the Super Bowl winners. It's really an amazing thing. I've been down there for a couple of them. It's just stunning how many people, the Rangers in 94 when they won the Cup, the Yankees, of course, going way back to astronauts and the Pope. I mean, it's been a place for ticker tape parades and now confetti parades for decades. Really something that can't be duplicated anywhere else. At 1 o'clock, they'll have the ceremony at City Hall in Lower Manhattan, and then the Giant team will go over to New Jersey to the Meadowlands, to MetLife Stadium, where they'll have another ceremony in New Jersey. There's always that New York-New Jersey kind of split, if you will. But again, the Giants, who played in New York forever till moving to the Meadowlands, still the New York Giants for obvious reasons. The Meadowlands, 8 miles from Lower Manhattan. But there'll be the big parade right now, and then the ceremony at 1 o'clock in Manhattan, and then they'll go over to New Jersey for another ceremony at 3 o'clock at MetLife Stadium. And, you know, this really has become to the victor go the spoils. As we discussed yesterday, I was at the game. It was very exciting. Sitting in the nosebleeds didn't really matter. A very exciting game. Could have gone either way, but the Giants were able to do it again. And again, when you take a step back and look at the legacy now of Belichick and Brady and the legacy of Coughlin and Manning, hard to say Belichick and Brady are better. They do have 3 Super Bowls. It seems oh so long ago now. I'll analogize it again to the Yankees, 96, 98, 99, 2000. They lose a heartbreaker in 2001. They lose in 2003. It's not till 2009 they come back and win again. Similarly, the Patriots now won their 3 Super Bowls in the early 2000s, come back now, lose 4 years ago to the Giants, lose again to the Giants. Same core cast of characters by that, mainly coach, quarterback, certainly guys like O.C. Umenyiora on the defensive side of the ball, Justin Tuck, who could have been the MVP in the last Super Bowl win over the Patriots, by the way. An amazing thing. Did the Patriots have their opportunities? Absolutely. I finally got to watch the telecast, and, you know, they had that Ninkovich offsides when they had the Giants 3-and-out deep in Giants territory, and then on the next play they got a first down, and on the next play the Giants fumbled, but the Giants recovered. Certainly the other time, the 12 men on the field penalty for the Patriots, just unbelievable, because that nullified a fumble and a recovery by the Patriots. And it was just, the ball did not bounce their way. Tom Brady, clearly his shoulder was hurt. You could tell it at the game. They showed it, obviously, on the telecast. I didn't know that, of course, till last night when I finally got to watch the telecast. But clearly his left shoulder was hurting him. The man threw 16 completions in a row. He engineered touchdown drives of 96 and 79 yards back-to-back. He was on fire. Clearly, I'm hearing now people at halftime saying, oh, yeah, we still like the Giants. I don't know. I was at the game, and I'm a Giants fan, and everybody was down at halftime 10-9, not out. But when the Patriots again marched down the field like it was 11 against 9, 17-9, the only good thing was the Giants were only down 8. To their credit, they crawled back in. Brady did get hurt on the sacked by Justin Tuck, where if you do watch the replay, you can see he kind of crunched that left shoulder into the ground, perfectly legal. And then we could see at the game that Brady was playing with his, you know, left shoulder, his non-throwing shoulder. Clearly it was hurt. He was trying to see how high he, you know, what his mobility was. Hoyer warmed up a couple of times. Brian Hoyer, the backup. So you knew Brady was hurting when he came back in. He just, you know, wasn't Tom Brady. Having said all of that, if Wes Welker catches that blown coverage wide open down the seam about 15, 20 yards down, a pass he says he catches all the time, and he does. He did not catch it. You could make a case that was the key part of the game. But the Giants persevere. They had this, almost funny now in retrospect because they won the game, they had this moment where Eli Manning, who was on the David Letterman show last night in New York, said he was yelling at Ahmad Bradshaw not to score when the Patriots had clearly decided to let Bradshaw score. And Bradshaw stopped on the goal line, but he said his momentum carried him into the end zone. You could make a case that that's one of the dumbest plays in the history of the Super Bowl because it gave Tom Brady 57 seconds with one timeout to take another run, but the Giants were able to stop. They batted away the Hail Mary on the last play of the game. I mean, there was just some, to me, not very good coaching. I understand Belichick's going to the Hall of Fame, and Coughlin might be going also. But my goodness, 12 men on the field, that's coaching. This decision, if Eli's screaming at the guy after he hands off the ball, don't score, you got to think they should have talked about it long before that. I can tell you in the stands at the two-minute warning when the Giants were on like the 18-yard line, I heard some Patriots fans discussing should they let them score, and I think the answer was yes. If you're going to give Brady 57 seconds and one timeout, Belichick, I think, stupidly lost the timeout when he challenged the Manningham catch. The Manningham catch at first glance looked like maybe it was out of bounds, but they showed a replay right away at Lucas Oil Stadium, and you could see that he was clearly in bounds, both feet, by inches. You know, there was a lot of green between his feet and the sideline. Clearly he had possession. It was a poor challenge. It cost him a timeout they desperately could have used. I don't think, you know, Brady had to go down and score a touchdown there. And I don't think at 57 seconds with two timeouts he was going to do that as opposed to one timeout. But he did have one crack at the end zone. Gronkowski almost came up with it on the deflection. Gronkowski was injured. He was essentially a non-factor no matter what anyone says. You know, the rumors are now that he needs surgery. He says he doesn't need surgery. That's irrelevant to the Super Bowl game, of course. But there were a lot of, I thought, coaching decisions slash mistakes. If the Giants did not talk about what we're going to do if the Patriots are going to let us score, prior to Eli Manning handing off the ball to Bradshaw and screaming at him, don't score, I mean, my goodness, that's a colossal blunder that, of course, is now irrelevant. Coughlin even said after the game, oh, my goodness, I was going to have that hanging over my head if Brady led them back for a touchdown. You bet. You bet it would have been hanging over his head. But again, it's all irrelevant, I guess, when you win the game, and that's exactly what the Giants did. I won't say a stunning upset, but to me, still a minor upset. The bloom is off the Brady-Belichick rose. I mean, you got to be real now. They were unbelievable at 3-0. You can talk about them being the greatest ever, 3 in 4 years. Who knows if that's ever going to be done again in this salary cap era of football that we're living in now. But what the Giants have accomplished by beating the admitted best combination, certainly to date, you know, Belichick and Brady have now been in 5 Super Bowls. That's more than any coach-quarterback combination together. And Coughlin and Eli have not beaten them once, but twice. Eli picks up his second MVP, as we discussed all year. I certainly did not think Eli was an elite quarterback at the beginning of this year. He certainly played like an elite quarterback all year, and of course those questions are now answered forever. He is an elite quarterback. The question is, where do you put him in the top 1, 2, 3, 4? And as for Brady, again, I think the injury really hurt the Patriots' chances. I'm a Giants guy. My son is a diehard Patriots fan. We were at the game together. But you saw the change after they just marched down the field. It was actually 98 yards, you'll recall, when they got the ball with a few minutes left in the second quarter before halftime. They had it first and 10 on the 4. They had a false start penalty, moved them back to the 2. Didn't matter. They went 98 yards from there for the touchdown. And then another 79 when they got the ball to start the third quarter. And to me, the only thing that really changed was Brady got hurt. Of course, if you're a Giant fan, that's fantastic stuff. Too bad Gronkowski was hurt. That's the game. Too bad Brady got hurt. Brady actually looked very awkward in the pocket on that play. Tries to dance around. He does have pretty good mobility within the pocket. He actually could have run on that play that he got sacked and hurt on. Would have picked up a few yards. Could have slid and not been hurt at all. But he was trying to keep the play alive. The other play he kept alive, you recall, was the 50-yard bomb he threw to Gronkowski, and Gronkowski was just unable to jump. Chase Blackburn made a great play, not a good play. Let me know how many times you see a linebacker 50 yards down the field defending. Never mind defending a top tight end like Gronkowski, defending anybody. It just doesn't happen, but Gronkowski was behind Blackburn. Blackburn actually bodied him up, almost boxed him out like a basketball player to make a fantastic interception. And then again, the Patriots, you could argue, now that was on first down, so that was not a good play, obviously, but you can argue that it was just like a terrific punt to the four-yard line. The Giants could not move the ball. They had third and seven. They seemingly stopped them, but there was an offsides on Ninkovich on the right side that made it third and two. Giants got the first down. Giants then fumbled on their own 11 but recovered, so a lot went on there. But Eli was able to move the ball on short fields. One time he got it from his own 35, another time from the Patriots 48. Move it on the short field to get those two field goals that made it a game. Made it 17-15, put them in a position to win the game. And, of course, the pass for the ages, the Mario Manningham pass. I'll say it again. Coaches, even Tom Coughlin this year, who before this year was the all-time leader in challenges in terms of overturning rulings on the field. It seemed this year a lot of coaches, including Coughlin and definitely Belichick on the Manningham play, are just throwing the flag, hoping against hope. They showed a replay right away. It was very clear when you saw the play live, it looked like how could he possibly be in bounds. But when you saw the first replay, it was very clear that he was in bounds with room to spare. He easily got both feet down. It was a great throw and a great catch, but clearly shouldn't have been challenged. And at that point in the game, obviously a very close game, you knew those timeouts would be gold at the end. And they turned out to be gold, and the Patriots only had one. Would it have been different if they had two? I don't think so. You'll never know, but I don't think so. Again, Gronkowski was no factor. Brady was hurt. Brady at the end of the second quarter and the beginning of the third quarter, I'm hearing a lot of Giant fans today saying they still thought the Giants could win, they still thought this, they still thought that, but I can tell you this, if you were at the game, and there were more Giants fans there than Patriots fans, but if you were at the game, the feeling in the stands after they went down and took the lead 10-9 was, oh boy, we had them 9-0, now it's halftime. Oh boy, the Patriots get the ball. When they marched another 79 after marching 98, you were like, boy, this is tough. But things did turn around. Again, you didn't lose the faith as a Giant fan because you were down 8. A one-possession game, as you know, in today's game, touchdown, two-point conversion. But they crawled back into it with two field goals, 17-15, then the Manningham pass for the ages. No, it's not the David Tyree pass and catch by Eli and Tyree 4 years ago. But a fantastic play. He dropped it in between two guys. If you heard Eli talk about it, the play was to go to the right side. There was nothing there, so he just turned and threw it. 38-yard completion down the left side, dropped it in perfectly. Patrick Chung, who had a pretty good game, I thought, safety for the Patriots, got there just a touch late. Manningham, excellent catch, clearly in bounds, knocked out of bounds. That changed, obviously, the field position and the game. Then the almost comical play. You know, to me, there's something a little wrong with football, a little bit, when at the end of the game, the offense shouldn't really want to score the touchdown, and the defense is letting the offense score the touchdown. It comes up from time to time, though. You know, frankly, nowadays, if you're down a point late and they're deep in your territory and the clock is running out, you might as well let them score because when they go up 8, and in today's game you can go for the two-point conversion and get 8. I mean, that's an intelligent play. Belichick decided to let them score with a minute left. Bradshaw, I still think, should have fallen down on the one-yard line. You'll take your chances kicking an extra point to win the Super Bowl as a field goal, of course. But it was interesting. Some people are trying to stick up for Bradshaw now. You know, Eli said after the fact, I'm glad he went in. I was yelling at him not to score, but I'm glad he scored. Yeah, you say that after you win. But my goodness, you gave the Patriots a chance to win the Super Bowl when they should have had no chance. The Giants could have easily run the clock down to, I would say, 10 seconds, because if you kick it on third down, if you botch something, you want to be able to fall down or take a knee or cover the ball and then kick it again. But they easily could have limited it to, at best, a squib kick for the Patriots. and they didn't do that. But eventually, Brady drives him down the field, throws a Hail Mary, almost completed on the tip play. But thankfully for the Giants and for Giant fans and for Tom Coughlin especially, because he would have taken a beating if the Patriots had completed that pass. Thankfully, it was batted away for that whole group of people. Of course, unfortunately for Patriots fans, something they'll just have to live with now. Again, you don't talk about Brady and Belichick as the greatest ever now. I always said had they won 4 years ago, you would have talked about them being the greatest ever. Perfect season, 4 Super Bowls. But now they're 3-2. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I think Belichick did his best coaching job. He coached up this defense the last 5 weeks. They became a good defense. Look what they did in this game. They played well. They forced 3 fumbles. 2 recovered by the Giants. The third they recovered, but they had 12 men on the field. 12th man, of course, had nothing to do with the fumble. So give the Giants tons of credit. They deserve it. Coughlin and Eli have elevated themselves into a Hall of Fame conversation, whereas at 6-6 and 7-7, people were looking for Coughlin's job. I was fortunate to interview John Mara at the beginning of the season, the Giants owner, and got the distinct impression that he was not going to fire Coughlin no matter what. As you know, it was his father, Wellington Mara's, last essentially official act as Giants owner before he passed away was hiring Tom Coughlin. And Coughlin certainly now, with 2 Super Bowls in his pocket, is going to write his own ticket. His contract is up after next season. Of course, they'll sit down this week and decide. It's really, you know, Coughlin 65 going on 55. He's got a lot of energy. Obviously, things are going well. Hopefully, the Giants, if you're a Giants fan, can keep most of their players. You don't know if Jacobs will be back. Certainly, a lot of Giant fans wanted him gone. That is an effective running game. Not a great running game, but effective. Bradshaw and Jacobs. Will Osi Umenyiora come back? You know, he was promised, according to him, he was promised an extension and never got it from Jerry Reese, the general manager. So you don't know what's going to happen with him. But Hakeem Nicks also, you don't know what's going to happen with him. But they still have the core being Coughlin and Eli. They revamped the offensive line with success now. Obviously, the defensive line, which was the key to victory, I won't say in the Super Bowl, but to get to the Super Bowl, they became healthy. Kiwanuka, Osi Umenyiora, Justin Tuck, Jason Pierre-Paul is a beast. So they have a bright future ahead of them in years to come, and maybe a chance to win another one. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
High quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want grade hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A few more Super Bowl / NFL notes. Again, you have to give the Patriots, I think, Belichick's best coaching job. Some will argue the first Super Bowl when they beat the Rams, but he really did have a woeful defense and no Patrick Chung for most of the regular season. I thought they built well the last few games. I thought they played very well against the Giants, not well enough to win. But I'll say it again, if you said that the Patriots defense was going to hold Eli Manning to two touchdowns and two field goals, I think you would have picked the Patriots to win. But in any event, the Patriots now, I don't know how this works, but the Patriots now are favorites, early line favorites to win next year, to win next year's Super Bowl. They're 5-1. The Giants are like fifth or sixth pick at 8-1. But I think, again, when you look at Belichick and Brady, you're not looking at them. Apparently James Harrison had a tweet, a cheat tweet, accusing the Patriots, again, going back to Spygate. They have not won a Super Bowl since then, of course. They did go 18-0, but lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants 4 years ago. So a lot of people will hold that against Belichick now. Belichick and Brady, you know, is Brady towards the end of his career? Well, if you watch him at the end of the second quarter and the beginning of the third when he completed 16 passes in a row in the Super Bowl for a Super Bowl record, it would be hard to say that. Their offense is still going to be a machine. The weapons they have are young, the two tight ends, Gronkowski and Hernandez. Wes Welker, of course, came back from that terrible knee injury and catches over 100 balls every year. They do need a deep threat. I don't know if it's Ocho Cinco. He had one nice catch in the Super Bowl. I thought they were just off timing-wise all season. I watch all the Patriot games because of my son. I thought they were almost there a few times, but never quite there. Don't know if they'll want them back. Patriots could use a deep threat. You can go Gronkowski down the seam. You can throw the Deion Branch on the outside sometimes. They tried to make Slater and Ocho Cinco occasionally a deep threat, but they're not Randy Moss. It's too bad for the Patriots that they couldn't come to an agreement with Moss. I think early in the year he wanted a two-year deal. They were willing to bring him back for one. So I think that hurt both of them. Obviously, Moss wasn't in the league. And the Patriots did what they did amazingly without a deep threat. They did not have a real deep threat the whole season. But I don't think they should be the favorites for next year, although their defense has improved and they will get a little better. I don't know that it's the end for Tom Brady again if you saw him as a surgeon cutting up the very good Giants defense on those two drives. I mean, 96 yards going back to the two, 98 yards, and then 79 yards on consecutive drives. Again, the only thing if you were a Giant fan in the building, which I was we're only down eight. But you certainly couldn't have been confident, and then a lot of things happened. The fumble bounced back to the Giants, the offsides on Ninkovich, the sack by Tuck that hurt Tom Brady. I mean, a lot of things went the Giants' way, but that's what the Giants do. They turn all of these games into scrums, into rugby matches, and they're very good at that. Obviously, a great defensive line. Now, they didn't get a lot of pressure on Brady, but they got enough at times. And again, Brady was clearly hurt towards the end of the game, but that's irrelevant. Manning is now the new Iron Man. Eli has got two to Peyton's one. And we'll talk about Peyton Manning in a minute. He's beaten Brady twice. He's got two MVPs, so does Brady. I don't think you're going to say Eli Manning's a better quarterback than Tom Brady, but guess what? He's in the neighborhood. He's very close. Coming off 25 interceptions last year, nobody really would believe that this year, but he was much better this year, much more intelligent with the ball, much better thrower of the ball, didn't make stupid passes. Well, he made a couple during the regular season, but not nearly as many as last year. And he is the best fourth quarter quarterback. Nobody can deny that. Set the all-time record again. I say Unitas did it in 12 games, so you put an asterisk next to that. But Eli Manning is now an elite NFL quarterback, no doubt about it. The question is, where do you put him in relation to Breeze and Brady, Aaron Rodgers? None of those guys have done it better in the fourth quarter in big games than Eli Manning. You can make a case for Brady. And I know 57 seconds isn't a lot of time with one timeout, but he did have a chance. So give all the credit to the New York Giants. They deserve it. Coughlin deserves whatever extension he wants. They should try and keep those guys together. I don't know, again, if they want to or can keep Jacobs, if they want to or can keep O.C. Umenyora, if they want to or can keep Akeem Nicks. But really, this was a team at the end of the year, after going 7-7, was playing lights out. And every game was a must-win game. The Jets, the Cowboys, obviously every playoff game. And they were able to do it. Give them a lot of credit. I think it all goes back to Eli as the quiet leader. And you know, whatever you think about the glitter of the NFL nowadays, at the end of the day, it was two old-time coaches with two not-mouthy quarterbacks who made it all the way to the Super Bowl and gave us a very exciting game. A few other NFL notes. Obviously, the biggest story is going to be Peyton Manning. He's let it be known that if the Colts release him, he'll restructure any contract, that he doesn't need a ton of money up front. Obviously, the Redskins are interested. The Dolphins are interested. Those are the two leading candidates. The Jets, maybe, I don't know. Be interesting if Peyton Manning and Tom Brady were in the same AFC East, as he will be if he goes with the Dolphins, obviously. But I think Manning's going to step back now. Look, it looks like the Colts are going to release him. How are they going to pay him $28 million on March 8th? You don't even know if he can play. They made a big deal out of he's cleared for football last week. Well, what does that mean? They just said that because that's another shot at Jim Irsay. Irsay's going to have to cut him. Peyton's not going to let him off easy. He wants a $28 million. What's interesting to me now is, does Peyton Manning make a slightly different decision? Peyton Manning down to his brother 2-1 in what's viewed to be a very competitive family by all accounts. Isn't it amazing that Eli Manning has more Super Bowl wins than Peyton Manning? But Peyton Manning is the greatest regular season quarterback in the history of the NFL. Four regular season NFL MVP awards. Nobody else has done that. But spotty in the playoffs, I think a 500 record in the playoffs, is not the playoff quarterback that his brother is. Is not the playoff quarterback that Tom Brady is. So I think Manning was going to look at it a little differently. I think he's really, you know, people say he doesn't want to play cold weather. He's got a neck problem. He doesn't want to do that late in his career. He'd like to play in warm weather or a dome. And I don't disagree with that, but I think if the best opportunity in his mind is to go somewhere where the weather isn't great or where there isn't a dome, now that he's down to his brother 2-1 and his window is closing, Peyton Manning's, he can say he wants to play six more years. If the Colts bring him back next year, do they have a chance to win the Super Bowl? I don't think so. Their defense was terrible this year. And it looks like they're taking Andrew Luck. Now, Ursay has tried to allay that a little by saying Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin III, they're both great quarterbacks, blah, blah, blah. But it would be a shock if they didn't take Andrew Luck. Although Griffin has a big upside, I think, the Heisman Trophy winner. He's more along the lines of the new NFL quarterback, if you will, of the Cam Newton type of quarterback. And not because he's as big and strong as Cam Newton, he's not. But because of the ability to make plays with your legs and the ability to throw the ball down the field. But Luck is viewed to be can't miss. Luck is viewed by some to be the next Peyton Manning. I'm on the fence on that because I saw Phil Simms say, or I heard Phil Simms say, I haven't seen him make all the NFL throws yet, so that's an interesting comment. But next year, it doesn't look like the Indianapolis Colts are going to be that good with or without Peyton Manning. And again, why would you spend $28 million on Peyton Manning? You don't even know if he can play. And Ursay is saying it's very difficult, very tough decision, very close call, but, you know, he swept everybody out from the Peyton Manning regime in terms of the front office. The coach is gone. Polian is gone. So it seems to be like a new turning over a new leaf. It looks like they're in rebuilding mode. If you bring Peyton Manning back and stick him out there, you know, maybe they're a playoff team because Manning is great, but they don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl realistically. So it looks like Manning will be gone. He's the biggest offseason story. All of this will come to a head on or before March 8th. And Manning is not going to say, I don't want to come back. He wants his $28 million. I don't think he's going to get it from anybody else. But if Ursay cuts him, that'll be a public relations nightmare in Indianapolis, of course. Because they called Lucas Oil when I was out there. It's called the house that Peyton built. And the reason Indianapolis has a Super Bowl, and I think they did a fine job, is because of Peyton Manning. So I think it's going to be hard, and I put that in quotes, to let him go. But I think they're going to let him go. I don't see how you can keep the guy. And if they do keep him, I think that's going to hurt Peyton Manning, frankly, because he's not winning the Super Bowl with that team. Can he win it with the Redskins, with the Dolphins, with the Jets? Well, that's a tough question as well. But if another team comes to the fore that's a contender, don't think it'll be the Ravens because of Joe Flacco. Although if you drop Peyton Manning on the Ravens, they have a real good chance to win the Super Bowl. They almost got there this year. But I think Manning's viewpoint is a little different now. I think he's going to take the team that has not the most money, but the best chance to win the Super Bowl next year. Because his window is not 6 years, even though he thinks he can play into his 40s. His window is shorter than that. A few other quarterbacks to look at. What's going to happen with Jason Campbell in Oakland? Obviously, they signed Carson Palmer. But now they have a new coach. They have a new GM. What's going to happen there? If the Colts draft Andrew Luck, who's going to take Robert Griffin III? Are you going to look at a Matt Flynn? Matt Flynn, who was unbelievable, threw 6 touchdown passes in the last game of the year when they decided, the Packers, to give Aaron Rodgers a day off. They won't do that next year if they're in the same position. That was a dumb thing to do. You can't give your quarterback 3 weeks off between games. They should have let him at least play a couple of series that day. Would it have made a difference against the Giants in the playoffs? Probably not. But they won't give Aaron Rodgers 3 weeks off again. That won't happen again. But Matt Flynn looks like a legit NFL quarterback. I saw him play against the Patriots. He was great in that game the season before. They almost beat the Patriots in New England. And then he threw 6 touchdown passes the last game of the year here this season. So Matt Flynn will get a contract somewhere. Somebody going to take a shot with Kyle Orton next year? They should. So there's a lot going on quarterbacks in the NFL. A few other NFL things. The Patriots made it official that Josh McDaniels will be the team's offensive coordinator next season. Steelers are going to hire the former KC Chiefs coach Todd Haley to be their offensive coordinator. And the Raiders announced that Jason Tarver, who used to be a 49ers assistant and this past year was the co-defensive coordinator at Stanford, he's going to be the new defensive coordinator of the Raiders, Jason Tarver. So that's really it for the NFL. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that victory parade, although, you know, a lot of people don't really care about that, frankly, if you're not from New York. But Coughlin's going to sit down with owner John Mara this week or next. You know, they made a big deal out of the fact that Saturday night, Tom Coughlin told his team, quote, that I love them, close quote, which is not something you would expect from a guy like Tom Coughlin, old-timer, tough guy, Giants first 9-7 team, to win the whole thing, which is a whole other problem. Peyton Manning was quoted as saying, quote, he couldn't be happier, close quote, for Eli, and he plans to meet with Jim Irsay this week. So that'll really do it for the NFL for the most part until something else breaks. We'll get to the NBA and the NHL and other things after this short break. This is the Steve Callis Show, where it's SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion, and now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard-to-find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm Slots Payback!
Palm Slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MY-TV. 877-509-MY-TV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MY-TV. 877-509-MY-TV.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to switch to the NBA now. The big news in the NBA, obviously, regular season night last night, but the Lakers, Kobe Bryant, surpasses his old teammate Shaquille O'Neal for number five on the all-time scoring list. Bryant, 28 points last night to go to 28,601 to pass Shaquille O'Neal for fifth all-time. Unfortunately for the Lakers, they couldn't beat the 76ers on the road. 76ers have a very nice team. 76ers, 95. Lakers, 90. You probably know the list for the top five scorers of all time. Of course, Kareem is first. Karl Malone second, Jordan third, Wilt Chamberlain fourth, and now Kobe fifth. Shaq drops to sixth. And when he was asked, Kobe, to his credit, when he was asked, well, you know, what do you want? Do you want to climb up on that scoring list? You want to be number four? You want to be number one? What do you want to do? He said, I just want number six, referring, of course, to a sixth championship. Now, Kobe has already beaten Shaq in terms of championships. Shaq had three, then went to Miami and got his fourth with Dwayne Wade. Kobe had three and eventually won two more with the Lakers. Gasol became a much better player. Lamar Odom became a much better player. But Kobe now has five. He's looking for number six. Obviously, that would tie him with Michael Jordan. And that really is his focus. Can he do it with this team? He said yesterday he would not go anywhere else. He would not play anywhere else. He's going to do it with the Lakers or he's not going to do it. And right now, the Lakers, frankly, you know, they're not very deep. Derek Fisher is still their point guard. A nice player, would be better now as a backup. Met a world peace, formerly Ron Artest. He starts now, and he's good some days and not good others. They're not very deep on the bench. Can they do it with Bryant, Gasol, and Andrew Bynum? Well, yesterday, Bryant, 28 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Andrew Bynum, 20 points, 20 rebounds in a losing effort. Gasol, 16 and 11. But that's really all they had. Nobody else with double figures. I don't think they're good enough to do it. They are 14 and 11. The 76ers, really now a young and coming team. Lou Williams off the bench yesterday, 24 points, 4 assists, 7 for 12 from the field, including 3 for 6 from 3. He really killed the Lakers. Of course, Iguodala, a human highlight film, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Jrue Holiday, a very good young point guard that most people don't know about, 13.6 assists. The 76ers have a very nice team. They're 18-7. And they beat the Lakers yesterday, 76ers 95, Lakers 90. And again, a game that will be remembered for Kobe passing Shaquille O'Neal on the all-time scoring list into number five. Lakers only 3-9 on the road. Obviously, they're going to have to play better if they're going to make some noise in the playoffs. Another interesting game, the Clippers go down to Orlando to play the Magic. The Magic, of course, has been slumping of late. Clippers win in overtime. Clippers 107, Magic 102. Chris Paul was unbelievable for the Clippers. 3-for-3 from three-point land, 29 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. The human highlight film, Griffin, 18 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. A possible blow to the Clippers, Chauncey Billups, the veteran guard, who is still a very good player, had 18 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists yesterday, but hurt his Achilles. No word this morning how seriously, but it was one of those fall down without contact, grab your Achilles, that's never a good sign. And I think they need him because Griffin and Paul is a great 1-2 combination. Caron Butler yesterday, 14 points. Billups, 18. DeAndre Jordan, 8 points, 8 rebounds. But they're not deep either. So the Clippers are going to really need Billups. Hopefully he can get back soon. The Magic, what can you say? I mean, the Magic are just Dwight Howard looking for the door. Still wants to be traded. He goes for 33 and 14 rebounds yesterday. Plays 44 minutes in an overtime game, but they lose. Clippers outscore the Magic 13-8 in overtime. Jason Richardson, 20 points. Jameer Nelson, 15 points, 12 assists. They have a nice team, but I don't really think you can say they have a possible NBA championship team. Clippers 107 on the road beat the Magic 102. In overtime. Another interesting game, the Thunder and the Trailblazers at Portland in overtime. Oklahoma City wins 111-107. But if you saw this game, or at least the highlights, there was a terrible goaltending call at the end of the game, very late in the game. Durant goes to the basket. LaMarcus Aldridge goes up to block it, blocks it clean. Blocks it before it hits the backboard, which means no goaltending, was not on the way down. It was like a layup going to be, and Aldridge blocked it clean. But he was called for goaltending. That tied up the game. Portland had a shot at the buzzer, couldn't score. Game goes into overtime, and then in the overtime, the Trailblazers can only score 4 points. Oklahoma City 111, Portland 107 in overtime. Durant has 33, 7 rebounds, 5 assists for Oklahoma City. Westbrook, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. What a player he is when his head is screwed on right. Ibaka, 12 points, 13 rebounds. Oklahoma City has a very good team, but I think they got away with one last night. Oklahoma City moves to 19-5. Portland drops to 14-11. Oklahoma City, 111. Trailblazers, 107 in overtime. A few other games. Phoenix Suns on the road at Atlanta. Atlanta, a good team, but two up and down. Phoenix, not very good this year, but they go into Atlanta and beat the Hawks. Phoenix, 99. Hawks, 90. Steve Nash still doing it, 24 points, 11 assists. Channing Frye, 19 points, 9 rebounds. Michael Redd, who if he can play and he's healthy, 10 points off the bench. But Phoenix, not a very good team, but they managed to beat Atlanta, who's just up and down. They're 16-9. They're a good team. But yesterday, Joe Johnson, 17 points. Smith with 18. Green with 14, but really no big-time scorer. Atlanta has a talented team. But I think they're another team that's, you know, a playoff team, but really not going to be able to get over the hump in the playoffs. The Knicks, just a bizarre year for the Knicks. Unfortunately, as you know, Amari Stoudemire's brother was killed in a car crash yesterday, so Stoudemire left the team. Hazel Stoudemire Jr. died in a car crash earlier this morning, or early yesterday morning, I should say. Stoudemire went down to Florida to be with his family. He's very close to his older brother. And then when the game started, Carmelo Anthony didn't play 6 minutes before he strained his groin. So what chance do the Knicks have? Utah a pretty good team? Well, the Knicks have a new star named Jeremy Lin. It's only been two games. He torched the Nets for 25 on Saturday. He had his first NBA start last night, and he played 44 minutes, scored 28 points on 10 for 17 from the field, 8 assists. He did have 8 turnovers. But this kid put energy. Lin, the only Asian-American player in the NBA, Harvard grad. I actually saw him play a couple times against Harvard against Cornell when Cornell had that real good team a few years ago. Lin was in the D-League, came to the Knicks like a week ago, and he is very, very quick. He's NBA quick. I didn't know that it would translate into the NBA, but he is, certainly has great speed, not good speed. And he can get to the basket, not a great shooter. But if you have a chance to watch the Knicks, you'll want to watch him play. And now, with Baron Davis suffering some kind of new setback on top of his old injury, Lin might be the point guard for a while. When they asked Antoni if he was playing him too much, he played 44 minutes, almost 45 minutes last night. He said, I'm going to ride this guy like Secretariat. But Lin seems to be in great shape. Again, he's very quick. He's going to have to get a handle on his ball handling. But he breathed some life into the Knicks, and they somehow managed to beat a pretty good Utah team, 99-88. Now, Utah, to me, is a surprise at 13-10. Yesterday, Al Jefferson, 22 points for Utah. Hayward, the kid from Butler, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Millsap had a bad game for Millsap, 3 for 10 from the field, only 9 points. He did have 13 rebounds. They have a nice team. I didn't think Utah would be this good. But they dropped to 13-10. The Knicks only 10-15. It looks like they won't have Stoudemire for a few days down in Florida for his brother's funeral. Looks like they're not going to have Carmelo for a few days. If that's a groin injury, you got to give it some time. But the Knicks get an unlikely win. Novak off the bench for the Knicks, 19 points on 5 of 8 threes. Jared Jeffries, 13 points, 8 rebounds. Tyson Chandler, 10.7 rebounds in only 22 minutes. He was in foul trouble. But the Knicks get a much-needed win, 99-88, over the visiting Utah Jazz. One other NBA game to talk about. The Spurs beat the Grizzlies, 89-84. Tony Parker, 21.7 assists. Again, the Grizzlies now coming back to reality, I think, without Zach Randolph. They're 12-13. San Antonio, no Ginobili, 17-9. Parker, 21.7 assists. Tim Duncan, what can you say about him? 32 minutes, 19 points, 17 rebounds. Parker and Duncan have really had to step up, and they have. Diago Splitter off the bench, 14.6 rebounds for San Antonio. They still have a good team, even without Ginobili. Obviously, they're going to need Ginobili back and healthy for them to make another run. If they can make another run, Duncan, Parker, Ginobili. I think it's kind of past them, but maybe they do have a chance. A chance to make a run at an NBA title this year. The Wizards beat the Raptors in overtime, 111-108. John Wall with 31 for the Wizards. A few other games. The Kings beat the Hornets 100-92. Cousins, 28 points, 19 rebounds. Obviously, he's flourished since the Kings fired their coach. The Rockets beat the Nuggets 99-90. Luis Scola with 25 for the Rockets. The Bulls beat the Nets 108-87. Boozer with 24 points. Derrick Rose, the reigning MVP, left that game with back spasms. Have to see if he's going to miss any time or not. So a few injuries yesterday in the NBA. Billups. Carmelo. Just going to have to keep an eye on those injuries to see Derrick Rose, to see how serious they are, if they are serious. By the way, Kevin Love was suspended for two games. I don't know if you saw him stomp Luis Scola Saturday night. They were going back and forth at it during the game, and then Love just stomped him and got two-game suspension. He did tweet, I'm sorry, I apologize to everybody. But he's going to miss two games, obviously a big blow to Minnesota. After Kobe passed Shaq last night, Shaq said that Kobe's the greatest Laker ever. That's a quote. Magic Johnson said Kobe's the greatest Laker ever. That's a quote. Is he the greatest Laker ever? Well, he's got five rings. As great as Jerry West was, he only got one ring, of course, in the Bill Russell era. Is he better than Shaq as a Laker? I think so. Is he better than Magic as a Laker? That's an interesting question. You know, everybody's saying today, well, Kobe won two without Shaq, but Magic never won anything without Kareem. But Kareem, at the end of the time, at the end of his career, was not the Kareem that we knew. He was a very good player, but he wasn't the greatest player in the history of the NBA, which some have claimed, or certainly in the top five. So I don't know. That's an interesting. Magic makes everyone better. Kobe, I don't know if he makes everyone better. It's an interesting conversation. And again, remember in those days, it was always Magic against Bird. The Celtics beat the Lakers sometimes. The Lakers beat the Celtics sometimes. As good as Shaq and Kobe were, they really didn't have that great competition for, you know, they beat the Nets one year. They really didn't have that great competition, at least in my opinion, in terms of winning the title. There was no great rivalry like there was when Magic Johnson played against the Celtics and Larry Bird. Switching to the NHL now, the big news in the NHL, of course, is that Sidney Crosby is allowed to skate again with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He practiced on Monday with them, but of course, not ready for full contact. Don't know exactly when he'll be back. A few NHL games yesterday. The most interesting one, I thought, Anaheim beats Calgary in a shootout. Anaheim 3, Calgary 2. This shootout went to the eighth round. Nicholas Hagman scored the winning goal in the shootout for Anaheim. Bobby Ryan scored his 20th goal for Anaheim. Jerome McGinley scored his 20th goal for Calgary. But it was an interesting shootout with a lot of scoring. Corey Perry and Bobby Ryan scored earlier in the shootout for Anaheim. Olli Jokinen and Blair Jones scored in the shootout for Calgary, but it was Hagman's eighth-round shootout goal that provided Anaheim with the 3-2 win. Phoenix, Detroit goes down to Phoenix to play the Coyotes. Phoenix 3, Detroit 1. Martin Hanzel scored his 7th and 8th goals of the year, both assisted by Ray Whitney for Phoenix. Johan Franzen had the only Detroit goal, his 20th of the year. Phoenix 3, Detroit 1. And in the other game, the Maple Leafs in Toronto beat Edmonton. Toronto 6, Edmonton 3. Phil Kessel had two goals for Toronto, his 28th and 29th of the year. The second one an empty netter. Jordan Eberle had two goals for the losing Edmonton Oilers, his 23rd and 24th of the year. Toronto 6, Edmonton 3. A couple of other things. Lakers coach Mike Brown missed a game yesterday because he was suspended without pay and fined $25,000 for making contact with a game official and failing to leave the court after he was ejected Saturday night in the Lakers' loss to Utah. Again, Mike Brown under a lot of pressure there. The Lakers are not the Lakers. Is it partly because Phil Jackson is not there? Yeah, of course it is. But it's going to be very hard for the Lakers to win a title as constituted and with Mike Brown as their coach. A couple of quick baseball notes. Red Sox signed Alfredo Aceves to a one-year, $1.2 million contract to avoid arbitration. He pitched pretty well for the Red Sox last year. The Nationals agreed to a minor league deal with outfielder Rick Ankiel. If he makes the 40-man roster, he would have a $1.25 million one-year contract, could make another $1.5 million, you know, in performance bonuses. A few college games last night. Missouri wins again, number 4 Missouri at Oklahoma, 71-68. Marcus Denman with 25, Carter Ratliff 15 points, 16 rebounds. Number 21 Louisville hammers UConn 80-59. Jim Calhoun on another medical leave, George Blaney was the coach. Peyton Siva with 9 assists for Louisville, 80-59 over UConn. Tonight on TV, the national game on NBC, again, formerly versus 7:30 Eastern, Kings at Lightning. If you get MSG, the Devils at the Rangers at 7 o'clock Eastern, Islanders at Flyers at 7 o'clock Eastern, both on the MSG stations. Basketball doubleheader on the NBA Network, Utah Jazz at the Indiana Pacers, 7 o'clock Eastern. Then the Thunder at the Warriors after 10:30 p.m. on the NBA, 10:30 Eastern on the NBA Network. Some college basketball games tonight, ESPN, Florida at Kentucky, 7 Eastern. Maryland at Clemson, 7 Eastern on ESPNU. Iowa State at Oklahoma State, 7 Eastern on ESPN2. After those games at 9, Purdue at Ohio State. Ohio State, a nice team to watch, my pick for the national championship. Winners, 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. And then Alabama at Auburn, 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPNU. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.